We just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we're so blessed. We are so blessed to know you as Saviour and Lord. I just want to bring before you, Lord God, those children, those youngsters around the world, Lord, who today will die because they have no food. I pray in Jesus' name for the agencies and governments to get to work in these places. I pray for those, Lord God, who have suffered for so long. We come before you this day, Lord, and remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who have it so difficult day after day. Strengthen them, encourage them. May you be by your Spirit within them, Lord God, helping them, guiding them in Jesus' name. We pray for anyone here today who is in deep need. Father God, touch their hearts because you are the one, the only one, who can set the captives free. But may we in love come across them, bring them across our paths, Lord, so that we can share the good news of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There's a phrase that keeps coming about, whether it's on email or people saying things when you're chatting to them. And this has really got not much to do with the talk today, but I'll share it with you anyway. And what people keep saying is, we must think out of the box. But how big is your box? How big is your box? Okay, what's your thoughts on that? How big is your box? What I'm trying to help you with is, what are these sayings meaning? How big is this box? So what are your thoughts? What I'm trying to do is to make think out of the box. Well, what does that actually mean? So I brought it before my father the other day, and he said to me, or I thought he said to me, I'll just share this. He said, thinking out of the box is so limited. Think it out of the book, and it's unlimited. Hallelujah. So think it out of the book. Think it out of the Bible. Think it out of the Word. In other words, get the Word in you and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in each of us so that not only perhaps do we think out of the box, because one day we'll be in the box and we won't have any thought to think anyway. So if you'd like to turn, please, to Corinthians. You're going up, are you? We shall see. One Corinthians 13, if you would. 1 Corinthians 13. If you're there, we'll read that in a moment, but I just want to share what it's in the middle of. It's in the middle of chapter 12, spiritual gifts. It's talking here about all sorts of prophetic gifts and tongues and interpretations and faith and healing and miracles and all sorts. And we go through here, one body, many parts, and at the end of it, it says, verse 31, but eagerly desire the greater gift. So eagerly, and I'm asking, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then we'll come to 13 in a minute, but then it goes on to 14. Gifts of prophecy in tongues. He's encouraging us in the prophetic and in tongues. And brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we really do encourage one another in those giftings. But now I want to tell you the most excellent way. 13. Speaking to the Corinthian church, probably in about 52 to 55 AD. And he says, and now, so he goes into all these things, and then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but still not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, then the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. But now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We're talking here about agape love. It's a love, it's a God kind of love. It's a love that loves you and me, whether we've got it right or we've got it wrong. It's a love of compassion and kindness and goodness. And that's what Jesus came for, to show the Father's agape love for each one of us. He came that we may have life and have it to the full. And he sent Jesus to show us how we should be. And we should reflect God's kind of love to others in an excellent way. And we can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the characteristics of agape love. It's the highest kind of love there is in this world. We only find that in the New Testament. Never is that word found in the Old Testament. It's the kind of love that should flow from our hearts to others in the name of our Lord and Savior. It's the love that we should have for those who do not know Christ. It's the love that we should be to others. Never backbiting, never slandering, never saying things that we shouldn't. It should be something in love that we know we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and agape love is always for one another, always wanting the best for one another, and always believing in one another. Agape love gives and gives and gives. And it even gives never when there's never any return. It just continues to love. It's an unconditional love. Agape love positively turns with others as long as is needed. Never gives up and never quits. You someone who never quit? Do you keep going and going and going? I might have shared this before, but there was someone I prayed for 35 years. And I can remember praying for this person. And I thought, is this person ever, ever going to come to Christ? And I can remember, how can I put it? In exasperation one morning, come before the Lord saying, Lord, I really would love to put this person over the hedge. You take him on board because I've had enough. And he said, you just keep praying. You just keep praying. And I had the privilege of leading him to Christ on his deathbed. You see,
your prayers will be answered. Sorry about the emotion. But for me, bringing someone to Christ is the best thing in the world. We sometimes, as fellow Christians, forget what we're here for. We're here to extend the kingdom of God. Not River of Life, not the other things or what they are about. It's the kingdom of God. We need to be those people who have to get out of the box, get in the Word, and really extend the kingdom of God. Because whatever we do in this world, if it's not of Christ, it will be burnt up as stubble and wood. It is only and only the things that Christ does through us that will stand the test of time. And I want us to be those people, and as a church, who really grabs the gospel, who really understands the love, the agape love of God. And we as a fellowship and friends together, we will take ground where we thought we could never take it. We will pray together. We will seek together. We will work together. We will be there together. When others go out on the street, I'll just share this with you. Nita and I used to go on the rubbish dumps, as some of you know, in Mexico. And if you want to see poverty, it's the worst poverty we've ever seen in this world. 2.6 million people living in poverty on rubbish dumps. And I can only say it was the most blessed thing probably we've ever done. But going out there and seeing other people, what a privilege it is to come and serve them. And that's what our heart should be, serving others. Serving in any way God calls you to serve, and enjoying it. If God wants me to clean the loos here, I'm really happy to clean the loos. I really am. Doesn't bother me. If it's done for Jesus, that's what it's all about. It's not having a place up here to speak. It's doing the things in the background that no one knows about. It's being there for others in times of trouble, etc. So let us just come before God to know what it means to walk in a agape love. Don't be unkind to folk. Don't be rude to folk. Hear where folk are coming from. So often in this world, we met someone in a shop this week. And I won't mention her name, you don't know her, but it doesn't matter. And we were talking about God. And she said, "He hasn't been kind to me." That was her word. "He hasn't been kind to me." And I didn't know until afterwards. She'd been rejected twice by husbands who had just left her. Now, I don't know any reasons for this. But then about a couple of years ago, her 16-year-old daughter died of liver cancer. And so her heart was, "Well, he hasn't been good to me." And we just said to her, "You know, don't blame God for all the evil that goes on in this world." And we just had a little chat with her for a couple of minutes. And hopefully somewhere along the line in the future, she's moving to Felixstowe. So hopefully that will be a good time for us to invite her to church. She lives in Ipswich at the moment. But she's someone who you meet and they have the complete misunderstanding of agape love that God has for each of us. And I think all of us need to take stock, check our ways, check what we're doing. We are so, so blessed. Do you feel blessed? Yes. Just knowing Jesus Christ is the best thing in this world. What's the point of someone gaining the whole world but losing their own soul? But you and I, we can be soul winners for Jesus. When we show people that agape love, that unconditional love, that love that will not let them go, that love that knows you'll care for them no matter what, we want to be there for them and with them. That's the love that God has for us. Now, I have a little something else in here. And you'll know as soon as I get these out. I'm now going to go here
If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong . Let me explain here. I do understand the Greek when it comes to this, because I've looked at it. Check what you're doing to make sure that you and I are not just a noisy gong. Because this looks at people who have got quite a ministry, doesn't it? If you speak in the tongues of men or angels but have not love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You may come up here and say, I have the gift of prophecy, but not in the Lord. You're just a noisy gong. I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Is it coming from Christ? If it isn't, you're just a noisy gong, and so am I. You may have faith that can move mountains. Do you know, I don't know anyone at this moment who can move mountains with faith. I haven't seen it happen before my eyes. I'm sure there are those who can. But if it's done to show off your faith, it's just a noisy gong. If you want to put yourself forward instead of Jesus, it's just a noisy gong. Let's get this really right. Jesus uses us in his love, compassion and kindness on the inside of us to show the world that his kingdom has come, his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we are the people he used to accomplish this particular sign, or whatever you like to say, in this age. When we pray for youngsters, and I hope you pray for them, because it breaks my heart every day when I see young people around the world in starving conditions and the stench and the horror that they live in. And we've got so much. Let's pray for the organisations, because that's love. It's bringing those dear ones before God in love. It's spending the time to speak to him. It's saying to us about too, where's your pocket when it comes to love? Are you giving to agencies? Are you helping them on life's way? Are we really, really being those people who have agape love to show the world a difference of who we are in Christ? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And hope there means certainty. And I want to come and just say, I got this next piece from UCB the other day. If you really wanted to be different, you'd be in the process of changing right now. Change is never easy. It takes a lot of time, tremendous amounts of energy, perseverance, and of course, desire. But the desire to change must translate into a decision to change. I want to change. I want to change. I want it to be that as I live this life on earth, and as you get older, you think differently perhaps, but I want it to be when I look round and think, what did Jesus do for me or through me to extend his kingdom on this earth? What did I allow Christ to do in my heart and in my soul to show that agape love and that kingdom extension to other people? I don't want to be a clashing cymbal. I don't want to be looking at life through the eyes of the wrong perspective. I want to be someone who wants to love others, encourage others, and help others. I'm just going to read from you from Romans 12. It says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, because to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what we should be together in going out to invite people to Alpha or whatever it may be, that we may be Jesus' hands and feet. And the only thing that will prove it will be love. It's only love that draws people to Christ. It's love that makes, they say, the world go round. But it is love that makes a difference in places. It is love in tenderheartedness and kindness and goodness. It is that love that Christ has put in us. Let's get that depth of love in us more and more, that we may give out more and more of what he has planned for us. We're just about out of time, but I want to say, as we come to the end here, it's hard sometimes to love those who don't love you, but it's so easy to love those who do love you. But Jesus' heart is for us to love the unlovable. His heart is for us to love those who perhaps you don't get on too well with. His heart is for us to love when we rub each other up the wrong way. His love is to say to us, come on, get on together. You're my children. I want the best for you, and I want you to have the best for one another. So let's today think, how can I make a difference for my Lord and my Saviour in my life today and every day? May the Lord give us his help, his guidance, his Holy Spirit to enable us to move forward in him. I'm going to get to a prayer in a second, but Neat said, be sure to bring these home today, otherwise you get no lunch. So I'll put these in the bag now before we have a prayer and see how we go. Okay, Neat, I've done it for you. Right. If we can pray together, I'd just like to say this prayer and bow your heads. And let's pray this with sincerity. Let's pray this in a heart that longs and longs for more of Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us open our hearts so that your agape love can flow within us. We realize that we've allowed ourselves to get clogged up with our self-interests far too often. We need to be more focused, Lord, on the needs of others than we are on ourselves. We realize that the only way we can become this selflessness is to yield to your Holy Spirit, so he can do a deep work within our lives. Holy Spirit, we're asking you today to do whatever is necessary to teach us how to regularly walk in this high level, agape love of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Band, would you like to come up, please? Because we'd love to come and worship together, because that's what God tells us to do. And, you know, in giving, and I don't want to say too much about giving today other than in love and kindness and goodness, but you know, so many people do hold back when it comes to giving financially. I can only say this, boy, if there were any of you who really wanted to understand how to give, I'd love to have a talk with you. Because I can tell you, I know what it's like to walk with cardboard because my shoes have got in the bottom. I know what it's like not even to have a bottle of cordial in the house and have to drink out of the tap. I know what it's like not to have a cup of tea in the pot. I know what it's like to walk like that. But God had better for me, and I want to tell you, he's got better for you. Agape love will set you free. Free, what we've been singing about, free in times of trouble, but our hearts must be open to the Holy Spirit and give in love and compassion as Christ has done for us. God bless you.